Thank you, Aaron, Sherry. Thank you for your prayers, all of you. Thank you for being faithful and praying for people that are going in the water today. You know, it's really, really neat that drove down the road to the river yesterday, or maybe it was the day before yesterday, I guess it was, and it was so dry and dusty. The dust was everywhere, but I have a feeling that today it's going to be just perfect. So I'm happy for that, pleased with that. You know, everyone has hobbies and interests, right? One of the things that I consider a keen interest of mine is the people who first settled the North American continent from Europe. I know there was native peoples here prior to that, but just the thought that people would leave their homeland in a day and age when there was no going back, really there wasn't, and brave months of perilous, agonizing life at sea to come to a new world. That fascinates me. Have you thought about that? Back a few years ago, the show Pioneer Quest was on. Did any of you watch that? I didn't watch all of the episodes after they started airing it for like the fourth and fifth time, but first time through, we watched them. Very interesting, you know, to think it through. Many of you here today, those are your ancestors, right? Those were your forefathers and foremothers that made that journey. Why? Well, to have a new life. That's why they did it. And I want to start your thinking this morning with a question. And that question is, are you satisfied with the life that you've been living? Are you satisfied with the life that you've been living? Now be careful, because it's kind of a trick question. Because some of us are dissatisfied with the life that we've been living, because some people are never satisfied. I hope you're not one of those people, but the truth is that we do struggle with contentment, don't we? The Apostle Paul, in his book to the Philippians, he calls us to be content there, right? He said, if you've got a roof over your head, and you've got food to eat, then you need to be content with that. But the reality is, we live in a day and age where we are bombarded by the merchants of discontent. That is a phrase that refers to those who lead in the advertising industry, and I think it is a very apt description of the advertising industry. Merchants of discontent. And I read a stat here the other day that they surveyed some pastors, I think it was through Leadership Journal or something like that, and they asked them, what do you see the major issues that you're facing in your church? And they listed off several things. And at the very top of the list of responses was materialism. We live in an age of discontent. And the reason that many of us are not satisfied with the lives we're living is that we're never satisfied. But then there's another reason why sometimes we're not satisfied, or sometimes we are satisfied with life, rather, and that is because sometimes we get complacent. So, see, it's kind of a trick question, isn't it? When I ask the question, are you satisfied with the life you've been living, it's really, I'm kind of tricking you. Because no matter how you answer it, you could be wrong. Because the reason sometimes that we're satisfied with the life we're living is not a good reason. It's because we have allowed ourselves to become complacent in our lives. And God has so much more for us, but let's just ease through. Let's just coast. Tired of striving towards the mark. And complacency can be a terrible thing, especially as Christians and believers in our lives. Complacency can be a horrible thing. So maybe what I'll do is I'll rephrase the question, and I will ask you this question instead. Are you satisfied with the direction that your life is heading in? Let's go with that question this morning, because you know that you can chart the trajectory of your life. You know how arrows and rockets and bullets and all those kinds of things have a trajectory. That is to say that if you know the point from where they are launched and where they presently are, you can determine where they will end up, allowing for gravity and things like that. And you can do that with your life. You can look at where you've come from, and you can look at where you are at right now today, and with those two coordinates, you can project the trajectory of your life. That can be a little scary. For some of you, when you look at where you've come from, and you honestly look right now today at where you're at, and you turn your eyes to the future, some of you are a little fearful. You can project where your life is taking you. Unless, of course, there is something, some dynamic that changes the course and direction of your life. And I am here this morning to tell you that you can have a new life. You can have a new life. Come with me to Romans chapter 6, where the Apostle Paul talks about the new life that we can have in Christ, and he does it by referencing the concept of baptism, which I thought would be really a good place to start today. Romans chapter 6, first four verses. As we jump into the context here, Paul is facing, he is anticipating an objection to what he's been writing up to this point. Because what he's been writing up to this point is that even though we think sometimes that we can earn a relationship with God and earn God's approval by living our lives a certain way, that the reality is that all of us have failed miserably morally in our lives, and we can't get anywhere unless we have the forgiveness of God, and that forgiveness is available free to anyone, to all who will come to Jesus Christ by faith and put their trust in him. They can have a new life free from merit. You don't have to earn it. You can't earn it. You can't deserve it. It's a free gift. And chapter 5, he uses that word free gift over and over and over again. You can read the context there. So when he comes to chapter 6, he can imagine people responding, saying, well, hold it a minute, Paul. If you make this salvation thing a free gift that doesn't depend on how we live our lives to earn it or deserve it, then what's going to keep people from just saying, okay, thank you very much, God, and now I'll just continue to live the way that I want? And that's where we jump into the context of Romans chapter 6. He says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning that grace may increase? There's the question he's anticipating, or the objection. And then he responds, by no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. You can have a new life. Now, in all honesty, we all know that there's a lot of cynicism when it comes to this idea of life change. A lot of cynicism. There are a lot of people who really question whether or not real, substantial life change is really possible. Most people will grant what could be called a behavioral modification, or something that might be considered more cosmetic superficial, but transformation. The Bible talks about transformation, that someone can actually become a new person, that someone can actually have a new life. They say, you have to forgive me on this, but I just, I'm a little more cynical than that. And if we're really going to be honest, I have to tell you, I have an affinity with these people. On the one hand, I have 23 years of pastoral experience helping people with their problems. And I wish I could say that this wonderful transformation is something that I consistently see in people's lives. But I don't. It's not like